basically what our message today is about, discipleship. Amen? It's about discipleship, and I'll say it a couple times in a sermon, but we need to be discipled in order to be a disciple. Amen? And that's kind of the gist of the message today. Today we're going to look at Paul's meeting Timothy at the beginning of chapter 16, okay? I hope some of you guys have studied already. last week we read about the falling out, right, of Paul and Barnabas, how they were at odds with each other. They had an argument about John Mark, about whether or not he should go with him on this mission, on this journey. And then Barnabas tells Paul, you know, hey, let's take my cousin John Mark, right? Let's take him with us on this journey. I think he's ready now. But type A personality Paul, right, he wasn't ready to trust Mark for the mission. He remembered that Mark had deserted them at some point. Amen? So this was going to be a dangerous and important mission, and Paul wanted to make sure he had the right people for the job. Amen? And they had such a sharp disagreement about it that they would split up. Amen? This would be the splitting of Paul, at least for now, of Paul and Barnabas. So Mark they would split up, Mark going with Barnabas, okay, to Cyprus. Silas went with Paul to Syria and Cilicia. And so we see that God had given Paul a replacement for Barnabas. Amen? He gave him a replacement for Barnabas and in Silas. And as they traveled along, they reached Lystra. Once again, God would give them a disciple named Timothy. And that's what our text is about today, this disciple named Timothy. Young Timothy, amen, who was actually a fruit of Paul's labor from the last missionary journey through that town, okay? And so today, we see that as they get there, Timothy is gonna come up to the forefront, amen? And we're going to see that Paul had planted seeds of faith in this town the first time through, okay? He had planted seeds of faith, and Timothy was a product of that harvest, amen? He was the fruit of his labor, if you will. And he would become so important, he would become so close to Paul and important for Paul that he would call him a son in the faith, right? He'd actually call him his son, treat him like his own son, a son in the faith. And he was proud of the man that Timothy had become, okay? He was only 18, but he was proud of the man Timothy had become. This is a perfect example of how when we invest in people in the ministry, at some point, hopefully we'll see the fruit of our labor, amen? Hopefully we'll see the fruit of our labor, and this is discipleship 101, right? And it can be like a father-son relationship, right? Or a mother-daughter or whatever, right? It's the older or the people that are well-versed in God's Word that are teaching the younger generation, right? Those that are new in Christ. This is discipleship 101, especially when we teach our younger generations coming up. Amen? The kids, not just the pastors and the Sunday school teachers, but all of us are called to serve in that capacity. Amen? To teach all the younger, newer people to Christ about Christ. Amen? About God's Word. And as the body, we all have that duty to go out and make disciples of all nations, right? Make disciples of all nations. William Graham, look up Celebration at the Fountain. Discipleship is very important in the church, amen? And in the coming months, I'm going to want us to get involved in something called this William Graham Look Up Celebration, which is going to be in Fountain Hills, amen? And what this is preparing for this and leading up to this, it's all about preaching, teaching, and equipping people for evangelism and discipleship, right? And that's what the church should be about, right? We should all be about evangelism and discipleship. Just like Paul, Barnabas, Mark, Silas, and Timothy had been doing in the first century church, we should be out there discipling others. Amen? And so Mark Eberle wrote about discipleship. He said, about active discipleship. He said, relationship to Christ activates and empowers the whole of life when humans choose to act. Without action, nothing happens. Right? Without action, nothing happens. It's kind of like getting into a car, he said, just sitting there without turning on the ignition, without putting the car into gear, and without pushing on the gas and driving. If you get in the car and you just sit there, nothing's going to happen. Amen? Nothing's going to happen. And sure, when you're a kid, someone gets in the car and they drive you around, right? This might be the equivalent of relying on somebody else's discipleship, right? Oh, somebody else will take care of that discipleship, right? But being a passenger doesn't make you a driver. Amen? Nor does being passive make you a disciple, right? We're all called to be disciples, okay? All of us. As Christians, we should all be discipling each other as well as being discipled, okay? We must be discipled in order to be a disciple. Amen? We have to be discipled. We have to be taught and receive the Word of God in order to give it. Amen? So step out of your comfort zone and always try to train up others in the way they should go. Right? That's what God's Word says. Try to train them up just as Paul was doing with Timothy. Because if you do, at some point, you're going to see the fruit of your labor. Amen? At some point, you're going to see, and it kind of reminds me of when I used to teach in Sunday school. When I used to be a youth teacher, amen? A youth pastor. I see those kids today, some of those kids today, and they're growing up and they're still in the faith, amen? So we planted seeds a long time ago. But any of us can do that, amen? In our families, and I'll talk more about that, just like Paul was doing with Timothy. Paul had taught him, he influenced him, and he raised many disciples, but Timothy, okay, was going to be his main disciple. And some of Paul's last letters would be written to Timothy for instructions in the faith and being a pastor. Amen? So this was Paul. He was always discipling people, even until his death. He was always discipling. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in his last letter he wrote from prison, he was writing to Timothy and he said, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's discipleship. Amen? What we learn, we entrust to others so that they can do the same and it just keeps going. Amen? That's discipleship. That's how the church grows. And so Paul sets out on this second missionary journey. We come to our first verse, okay? Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish, okay, note this, his mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek, okay, a Greek and a non-believer. So we see here that mom was saved, but dad probably wasn't, okay? Mom was saved, but dad wasn't, and we'll see some confirmation of Timothy not being 100% Jewish because he wasn't yet circumcised. We know that because he's going to be circumcised here shortly. Amen? So in those days, for a Jew to not be circumcised, it was a very bad thing in their culture. Amen? So he had kind of an unequally yoked family, right? And obviously he wasn't circumcised. So his non-believing Greek father most likely would have been the reason for that. Okay? So that's just kind of to lay out the groundwork there for the message. Now this is 4 or 5 years that had gone by, okay, since Paul and Barnabas had been teaching in that town, and they were curious to see how the churches were doing, right? So they're going back not only to strengthen the churches but to see how they're doing, see how far they've come, and I'm sure they were pleased to see that not only were the churches doing well, amen, but they were thriving. The churches were doing really well. And so they'd travel from Antioch, Syria here, right? They would travel around here to Tarsus and Cilicia and then over to Derbe. And then this is what we're talking about right now here in Lystra, okay? And these are some hometowns too. We'll talk about that. They're going to be covering this whole area and in today's text. And we're also going to notice that almost everyone was traveling through their hometowns, right? Paul was from Tarsus, right? And then Barnabas was from Salamis, okay? And then Timothy, of course, is from Lystra, okay? So these were all their hometowns, amen? And so they had preached 4 or 5 years ago there, and Timothy, though, was going to be something special, okay? They had made many disciples in that town, and they had spread God's word, but Timothy was going to be something special. This is the same Timothy that Paul would invest much time in and write in two letters to that would bear his name, 1 and 2 Timothy, okay? And in those letters, Paul gave him advice and knowledge about what a pastor was meant to be, right? He's giving him, he's discipling him, amen? And what a pastor was meant to be. This would be a great ministry and responsibility that God was going to give to Timothy through Paul, okay? So he was going to get a great responsibility, and Paul the apostle who would for all intents and purposes act as if he was his father after all this, amen? And we see that in the beginning of each book, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, he calls him his true son in the faith. Amen? So he's not only discipling him, but he's treating him as his son. Amen? And that speaks to how we should be discipling others as well. Amen? This was a strong bond of discipleship. And now Lystra is not only the town that Timothy was from, but it's also the town, if you remember, where on their first missionary journey, remember they almost stoned Paul to death, right? They almost killed him, or some say they did, and then he was resuscitated, not resurrected, amen? Resuscitated, and only to go right back into the town. Remember that? He got up, and he went right back into the fire, right? He went right back into town, and this is the same town, okay? And so Timothy had already had great admiration for Paul because he probably witnessed all that. Amen? He had seen what Paul had done the first time he came through there, the words that he had spoke, the preaching that he did, and the way that he had no fear for doing God's work. Amen? He was going to go right back in there. So he had already great admiration for Paul and who he had become as he returned to Lystra. So historians say Timothy was about 18 years old at this time. Okay, so he was very young, amen? And back then, 18 meant you were a man, okay? Today it's kind of on the fence, right? Today we may be maybe 21, 25, I don't know. But back then, 18, you were a man, you were ready to go, amen? Ready to go out, he was ready to go out on this mission that God had called him to do. But remember, he had some things he had to deal with before he'd be ready for full-time ministry. Amen? He had some stuff to deal with. And as do any of us as we prepare to make ministry our life's work. Amen? We got things we have to take care of, right? Things, business that we have to get together before we devote. And prayer, a lot of prayer. Amen? A lot of prayer. And we're going to see here, though, that part of Timothy's preparation was going to be circumcised, okay? And it would appear that spiritually his house was divided, right? He had unequally yoked parents, right? His mother was a believer and his father was a Greek, but Timothy would still become the light, amen? He would still become a follower of Christ. You see, just because one parent isn't a believer, it doesn't mean that we can't become a disciple ourselves. Or maybe even both parents, right? We can still become a disciple ourselves. Maybe even disciple that parent after we become saved. Amen? And many of us have witnessed that, right? And seen where the children actually disciple their own parents. Amen? Or maybe grandparents, right? We'll talk about grandparents in a minute. So despite his upbringing, Timothy had become a mighty man of God. Okay? And which I know is the testimony of many of us, right? Many of us were brought up in less than ideal situations in our homes and maybe by non-believing parents. But today we're saved. Amen? And that's the power of Christ. Amen? God is amazing, and He uses mighty men and women of God to witness and bring others to Christ as well, no matter where we've come from. Even those who were raised with parents who were lost, non-believers. I know as grandparents, a lot of times we disciple our grandchildren. Amen? We disciple our grandkids, and in turn, a lot of times they disciple their parents. That we try to reach our own kids, and a lot of times we do it through the grandkids, right? Amen? So that's how God works. It's pretty amazing. God works in mysterious and miraculous ways. Can you get amen on that? Right? Amen. Praise God. So as believers, invest in your children. Invest in your grandchildren. Discipleship starts at home. Amen? Proverbs 22:6, we all know this one. Train a child up in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen? That's all of our jobs, right? We want to make sure we train up our children in the way they should go, because it's a lot easier to train them when they're children than it is when they get older. Amen? So as believers, we must witness, okay? And it should start at home with our families, and also we should encourage them to come to church, right? You can even make it a requirement if you want to, okay? It's your house. Amen? If you're living under my roof, you're going to church. It works sometimes. Now, remembering that Timothy's father was Greek is an amazing part also of God's plan to reach the Gentiles alongside Paul. Amen? Because remember, Paul was well-versed in Jewish and Greek culture, okay? He was well versed as well. God had called both Paul and Timothy, right? Who were both versed in Greek culture, of course, and to teach and reach not only the Jew, but the Gentile as well. Amen? So this is all part of God's plan, okay? Part of God's plan and part of that mission, okay? And that's amazing. It's amazing grace that God can use our past, right? Our past, our culture, our personalities, our love, and anything else He wants to use to reach others for Christ. Amen. Right? Anything we've been through, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, God can use whatever He wants, amen, for His glory. And He does, and He will. We just have to allow Him to use us. Verse 2 says, the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Speaking of Timothy, amen? They spoke well of him. It seemed that the believers, both near and far, were speaking well of Timothy. Probably saying, this man's on fire for Christ. He's doing everything right for the church. He already had a great reputation in the church, and it was spreading, it says here, as far as Iconium. Okay? That was 50 miles. We talked about how they traveled back then, right? They walked, amen, 50 miles. So he was traveling all around the region, spreading the gospel. And that shows us that Timothy was already an evangelist. He was already working for God's church, amen. He had the missionary heart that Paul was looking for to assist him on this mission. So they had spoken of Timothy well. He had the heart for God, and he had come from great women of faith. And we know that because Paul would write about him in 2 Timothy. He would say to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure it dwells in you as well. Amen? So you see that both our parents don't have to be believers in order for us to receive the Word of God. Amen? He got it from his grandmother. He got it from his mother. Right? Kind of reminds me of my own story, you know? Because my grandmothers. I never met my grandfathers, really, but my grandmothers were strong in the faith. Amen? And so was my mom. Amen? And so is my mom, I should say. So Timothy had been doing everything right, okay? Paul noticed that. Everybody noticed that, obviously. His faithfulness had opened up doors to be used by God through Paul for what could be labeled as the greatest missionary journey in the history of the church. Okay? This was going to be a great journey, and Timothy was going to be in the midst of it. Amen? And this, of course, is another reminder that when we're faithful and we're committed to God's Word and His church, He can use any of us. Amen? Any of us to do great things in His name. We are all significant in the body of Christ, right? Whether we're a pinky or a knuckle or whatever we are, amen? We all play an important part in the body of Christ. And so just be faithful, okay? Because God sees everything and knows everything. He sees what we do in the light, in the dark, right? In our home, wherever we're at, God sees everything. Amen? We don't know what God's going to do in our lives, but we do know that, like it says in Luke 16:10, Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Amen? It starts just a little bit in the ministry, and we just leave ourselves available to God, and He will use us to do amazing things. Amen? And He'll continue to do that. Stay committed and true, and God's going to use you in ways that you never imagined. Right? And that's forever. Amen? I know a lot of us are living that right now, and there's no better or blessed way, amen, to live than to know you're living in God's will and doing God's work. And so in verse 3 it says, Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Of course he did, right? He heard everything good about Timothy. He saw him. He said he wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew his father was a Greek. Before the last service, Brother Darrell asked me, he goes, how did they know if someone was circumcised or not back then? And I said, I don't know. I don't think they pulled their pants down to double check, right? But they just, in the Jewish culture, if your family was Jewish, you were circumcised. Amen? You were circumcised. It wasn't something that they had to check. But in today's text, we'll see that Timothy had to be circumcised. They knew that he wasn't because his father was Greek. Amen? So they just assumed that he wasn't circumcised. And so Paul was actually going to circumcise him himself. Amen? And they trusted Paul. They knew who Paul was. So this would be a way of them. I'm sure he didn't have to show them, but because Paul had circumcised him, right, he'd be able to reach the Jewish people in the synagogues, okay? Paul was respected in the synagogues, okay? So first we notice that Paul had just stood his ground, right? He had stood his ground and saying that we're saved by grace alone, right? Circumcision was not necessary for us to be saved, right? Circumcision wasn't required. He had even won the council's decision, remember that? He was coming back to spread that word to the churches and let them know what the decision was. So he'd won that decision, but then he comes to Timothy and he says, okay, you can come with us, but first you have to be circumcised. So which was it, right? Do you got to be circumcised or do you not have to be circumcised? Amen? What was that about? This circumcision for Timothy wasn't about salvation. Amen? It wasn't about salvation. This was about making a self-sacrifice, okay, in order to reach more people for the gospel. That's what it was about. It was about doing a self-sacrifice to reach more people. You see, a lot of people would have known whether or not Timothy was circumcised because of his family, okay? So he wasn't going to be able to reach everyone. Right? The Jewish people, if they knew he wasn't circumcised, they weren't going to pay as much attention to him or even listen to him as they would if they knew he was circumcised in that synagogue. Amen? So the point is, we're free in Christ, but sometimes we have to make sacrifices to reach others. We're free in Christ. We're saved to do whatever we want to do in Christ. Amen? But sometimes we have to make sacrifices to reach other people. Okay? And so, as believers, we're free, okay? And if we live a certain way, right, we can or we can't be an example for others to follow. Amen? So that's what this was about. He was not circumcising himself to be saved. He was doing it so that the Jewish people would receive the message. Amen? And in doing that, you know, it would help to spread God's word. And, you know, if we look at, sometimes we can look at that and say, say if it was us, okay, and we see other people and we're doing something they might not like, we could look at them and say, well, you know, that's not my problem. I'm saved. Amen? But that's not the way to do it, right? That's a problem of pride. Amen? And that's not of Christ, right? We should love others as we love ourselves. Amen? And if there's something we can do to reach others, a sacrifice that we can make, then that's what we should be doing. Amen? And whether that's spending your Saturday morning out there on the streets with bags of love, helping minister to the homeless, or coming to church every Sunday, or whatever that looks like for you, we all make sacrifices for the church. Amen? And to me, I mean, it shouldn't really feel like a sacrifice, but you know, these are things that we do to spread God's word that are out of the ordinary, things that we go above and beyond, right? And so I'm going to talk about that too, that we should all be involved in some type of ministry as well. Amen? The point is, are we humbling ourselves and making certain sacrifices in order to reach the lost? Okay? Are we doing that? And that was a decision that Timothy had to make in order to join Paul in this mission. And of course, Timothy would say, I'm willing to do anything, right? Just be careful. Be careful. Don't hurt me, but I'm willing to do anything you want, right? This was going to be humbling, painful, and humiliating for this young 18-year-old man to do, but he was doing it for God. Amen? He was doing it to spread the gospel. And because of that, he was going to do anything he had to do. The question for us today is, what are we willing to go through? Amen? What are we willing to give up and die to self over in order to reach more people for Christ? Right? What freedoms are we willing to give up, at least temporarily, in order to reach more people for Christ? There are freedoms that we may possess right now that will draw others away from Christ. Amen? It's not always just about us. Selfish freedoms that may prevent us from discipling others for Christ. What are we willing to give up for the Great Commission? That's the question. We don't want to be a stumbling block for someone else to find faith in Christ. Amen? We don't want to be a stumbling block. We want to help be that bridge. Amen? We want to be a disciple so that we can see others grow and be set free. Because the rewards for that are both here and in heaven. Amen? And they far outweigh any freedoms that we might have to give up or sacrifice. And that was the challenge that God was giving Timothy through the Apostle Paul. And it's the same challenge to all of us today. Amen? It's the same challenge for each of us. No, not to be circumcised. But you are free in Christ to do whatever you want to do. Amen? We're saved. We're living righteously. We're free in Christ to do whatever we like. But, you know, being circumcised is not a requirement, amen, for your salvation. The Greeks would even call it mutilation, okay? The Greeks called it mutilation, which is why they wouldn't do it. But remember, God wouldn't ask us to mutilate ourselves, amen? It wasn't mutilation, and it was actually beneficial to our health as well. But it also represented a picture of a commitment to the faith, okay? What are we willing to literally, in this case, cut away from our lives, okay, in order to be used in a greater way by God, right? That's what it represents. What are we willing to cut away from our lives in order to be used stronger by God? Amen? Just as Timothy was doing, okay? He was going to be all in. And verse 4 says that as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. But what about Timothy's circumcision, right? What about his circumcision? Do we say, do as I say, but not as I do? Right? Is that what Paul was saying? Amen? Is that what Timothy was saying? Well, we explained all that already, but they were doing whatever it took to take the gospel to people. Amen? To reach others with the gospel. So verse 4 again says, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And verse 5 says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers. That's what it was about. Amen? Strengthening the church, growing the church. You see, because Paul and Timothy were faithful in the Lord, the church was going to be strengthened. So the question should be, is the church strengthened by us? Right? Is the church strengthened by us? You know, when, bless you guys. When we come to Amazing Grace, do we strengthen the church? Right? We should be. Amen? We should be strengthened in the church. And or are we just here to be strengthened? Amen? Which is nothing wrong with that, right? That's what we come here for God's Word, so that we can be fed. Amen? So that we can be strengthened. And that's what the church is for. Getting fed, being strengthened, growing in Christ. But at some point, as we go strong and mature in Christ, we should be strengthening others. Amen? Once we grow strong, it's our turn to go out and strengthen others in Christ. And that's discipleship 101. Amen? That's what it's all about. Being a mentor for those who are new to the faith, right? Or maybe struggling in the faith. Or maybe don't have any faith at all. Amen? We're being mentors for everyone we see and come in contact with. Once we are strengthened in the faith, the natural progression is to then find someone that we can mentor. Find someone we can mentor and strengthen. And once we mature in Christ, we realize that the church isn't just a place to be ministered to, but it's a place for us to go and minister to others. Amen? And we take that out there in the world as well. The body of Christ is all about give and take, with God being the biggest giver of all. Amen? He gives us everything. A famous missionary by the name of C.T. Studd, he was a stud, by the way, he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Amen? If he died for us, then we should be able to do anything for Christ. Amen? And we're talking about eternal life too, right? Ask ourselves, how can we be a blessing to the church? How can we be a blessing to others in the church? And how can we be a blessing for God in everything we do? Amen? As we grow stronger, we should be spreading that love and that blessing to others. What sacrifices, though, are we willing to take and make in order to reach the next level in our ministry, right? Or maybe the first level of your faith or ministry, right? Maybe you're just getting involved in ministry right now. Because yes, as the body of Christ, we should all be in some part of some ministry, amen? Whether you're leading it or serving in it, whatever that looks like, we should all be in some part of God's ministry. And that, my friends, is a ministry that never ends. Amen? We're going to be worshiping and serving the Lord for eternity. And that's the beauty of it, right? That's the greatest part of it. Amen? It's going to be a never-ending mission for Christ. So may God's gift of grace work in each of you and through each of you to reach others for Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for the strength that you give us through your word, Lord. May it strengthen us and give us peace and give us hope, give us wisdom to mentor others, to disciple others, to witness to others, Lord, that we may bring them closer to Christ, Father. We lift up all those who are struggling in their faith, all those who are struggling just to come to church, Lord, and pray that you speak to them in dreams and visions and in the ways that only you can, Father God. Use us as well, Lord, to reach the lost. Give us our mission, Father God, to serve you and to serve this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.